This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Death is one of the most natural things that human beings have been through since the beginning of time. So every single human being is guaranteed death. And Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal tells us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Every single person shall taste death. And indeed, you will be given your recompense, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So the one who is averted and diverted away from the fire, and he is entered into Jannah, then such a person has won. And this dunya is nothing but a deception. So every single one of us will one day breathe our last. And this is something that when we think of, many of us are afraid, many of us fear, many of us think that, why do I have to leave this dunya? But in reality, a person who is preparing for the akhirah, he will not be as worried as the one who has built this world only. And this is why, back in the past, one of the scholars was asked, مَدَنَا نَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. Why is it that we despise death? So he says, لِأَنَّكُمْ عَمَّرْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ وَخَرَّبْتُمْ أُخْرَاكُمْ. It is because you have built your dunya and you have left and abandoned your akhirah. فَإِنَّكُمْ تَكْرَهُونَ أَن تَنْتَقِلُوا مِنَ الْعُمْرَانِ إِلَى الْخَرَابِ. So you despise to move from that which is built up to that which you have left abandoned. Imagine, you have a hotel room that you are living in. And that hotel room, obviously you know you are there for 5, 10, 15 nights, possibly maximum, and then you have to go back home. But when you are given and you check into that room, what you begin to do is you say, I don't like the way this bathroom is. Right? So let me develop it, let me renovate it, take out all the tiles, put that which I like, put a bedding that I enjoy, change the carpet, change the ceiling, change the curtains. Why? Because I don't like this hotel room. But you know you are leaving that hotel room. And that is the dunya for us, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. We build it and we make it such that it will be luxurious for our stay, not realizing one day you have to check out. One day you have to leave, and that which is beyond that door is what is important. The akhirah is important. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not only tested in the same manner. He did not only taste death himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and pass on to the akhirah, but he was tested with death all around him as well. He was born without a father. His father passed away before he died. His mother passed away when he was only 6 years old. And his grandfather passed away when he was 8 years old. So you can see in quick succession, people are dying around him. And in fact, he was only 6 years old when his mother took him on a journey with Ayman. And on the way back, his mother passed away, and Ayman came back to Mecca with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. Imagine, 6 year old child left motherless. Imagine the emotions going through the heart of this young child. But it was none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person may wonder that why did Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal test him in this manner? That is because, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, test, trial, tribulation, hardship, difficulty, even death around you is not a bad thing. But it is Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal strengthening you as a human being, making you stronger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preparing you for goodness in the akhirah. Allah raising your rank. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother passes away, and then his grandfather passes away, and then Abu Talib, his uncle whom he loved so dearly, passes away, and Khadija radiallahu anha passes away. And not only that, but even his children, one by one, they pass away. Ruqayya radiallahu anha, she is actually, she makes the hijrah and she becomes ill. And when it was the battle of Badr, Uthman radiallahu anhu was married to Ruqayya radiallahu anha. So when it was the battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out with his companions. And before going out, he told Uthman, "For you, your battle is at home. You stay and you look after your wife, Ruqayya radiallahu anha. She is sick, you will look after her." So he stayed at home. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out, and he was victorious at battle. And in the meantime, Ruqayya radiallahu anha gets worse, and she passes on. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't even know that his daughter has passed on. But he sends two people to give Medina glad tidings that they have won the battle. Usama ibn Zayd and Abdullah ibn Rawaha. He sent these two and said, "Go and give them glad tidings. We have won the battle." Imagine, he's sending them to give glad tidings, not realizing that his daughter has passed away as well. So they come and they give glad tidings to the people of Medina. But there are some who are grieving the passing of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the narration goes as far as to say that Zayd arrived, Usama ibn Zayd, he arrived in Medina and they were burying Ruqayya, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets back, he is shocked by the news. And what does he do? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He goes to the graveyard and Al-Baqi', what is known as Al-Baqi' today. And he raises his hands and he makes dua for Ruqayya, for maghfirah and for rahmah, for Ruqayya radiallahu anha. This is his own daughter passing away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine what was going through his heart, the sadness that he felt. And they say that when Kulthum radiallahu anha passed away, there is mention of tears that fell from the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. In fact, all of his children died except for Fatima radiallahu anha. And the only son that he had at the time, 1 year before he passed away, Ibrahim, he actually was breathing his last as well. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the news, "Your son is breathing his last." So he goes to the date palms of Medina in a home where he was, and he lifts up his son and places him into his lap. And one narration says he went and he took a smell, you know, he smelled the sun. You know how when you love someone, you breathe their scent in. This is what he did. And then he put the sun into his lap and his eyes teared. Allahu Akbar. If you just think of that, at that moment, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his only son at the time, and he's breathing his last in his hands. And his eyes tear, so the companion radiallahu anhu with him says that, "Awalam tanha anil buka," did you not stop us from crying? Did you not stop us from showing this emotion? So he says, "Ma nahaytu anhu," I did not stop you and prohibit you from this. "Inna hadhihi rahma," this is a rahma, ja'alaha Allah fi ibadihi ar-rahma. Allah has placed this in the hearts of those who are merciful. And then he says, "Innama nahaytu an sawtayni ahmaqayni fajirayn," but I stopped you from two different evil and bad types of voices. One, when you scream out, you know, when people go and they party and they are happy and they scream out and they shout and wail and do all sorts of things. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented from. And the second voice, he says, this foolish second voice that you are never meant to do is to tear your clothes and wail at the top of your voice and to scratch your face. That I have stopped you from doing. That I have prohibited you from doing. And then he says, "Inna al-aina la tadma." Indeed, the eye will tear. "Wa inna al-qalba la yahzan." And indeed, the heart will become sad. "Wala naqulu illa ma yurdi Rabb." But we will only say that which is pleasing to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. You see, it is normal and human for you to cry when you lose loved ones. It is normal and human for you to feel sad when you lose a loved one. You should process that pain, and part of processing the pain is to actually cry. Part of processing the pain is to cry. You know, there are some people who are so shocked that they cannot cry initially. And it concerns those around them. Why is this person not crying? This is a time where they should be crying. But they haven't processed it. They haven't processed the fact that this person is gone. And I will never see this person in this dunya again. And when they process it, it is as though a ton of bricks has hit them, and you see them break down in tears. That is rahmah from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, a system that He created within us for us to become stable once again. It is important for you to grieve, and this is why when we see videos of places where a person is saying, "Don't cry, don't cry, you are not meant to cry." No, that is not Islam. Your child has died, you are meant to cry. It is only human to cry. If you don't cry, then there is something wrong with you. Yes, perhaps it is at a time where you want to show a bit of strength to the enemy, etc. Understandable. Don't cry there. But don't stop people from crying behind closed doors with themselves, with their families. It is okay, it is normal for you to grieve. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grieved. But what did he say? "Inna al-aina la tadma' wa inna al-qalba la yahzan." And indeed the heart also becomes sad. "Wala naqulu illa ma yurdi Rabb." But we will not say anything except for that which pleases Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And this is where we make a mistake. This is where we now sometimes question why Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal did that to us. And the question why is to never be posed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is the decider, Allah is the creator, Allah is in control, and we as believers have admitted and submitted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. We surrender, ya Allah. We are there admitting that we are the slaves and you are the controller, you are the master and we are the servants, and we come to you humbly, ya Allah, begging for your forgiveness. So he says, "Wala naqulu illa ma yurdi Rabb," and we will not say anything except for that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, not long afterwards, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carries on with his life, and he continues, and Fath Makkah happens. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never got stuck in that moment. And that is what many of us tend to do when something bad happens in our lives, something severe, perhaps sometimes a motor vehicle accident where three or four of our family members have died. And it is so difficult, so heart-wrenching, you begin to wonder, what is the purpose of life anymore? Why should I live here anymore? But a believer in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Indeed, we belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. And he carries on with his life. What does that statement mean? "Inna lillah." We belong to Allah. Ya Allah, we give our lives to you. We admit that our lives belong to you. We accept your decree, O Allah. And we know we are going back to you as well. We know we are returning to you as well. So in the same manner that these people have gone, we will go too. And we admit and accept and carry on with our lives. Sometimes you find, and especially the females, when a woman's husband passes away And he was very, very good to her. What does she say? She says, I will never marry again. I will never marry again because I will never find anyone like him. But this happened to none other than the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her husband was very good to her. So she says, I will never find like Abu Salama. This was Salama radiallahu anha. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, make a dua. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. O Allah, reward me in this calamity of mine. وَخْلُفْنِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. And give me better than this calamity that I have been through. Give me better than Abu Salama. Just make that dua. Why? Because it is not beyond Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal to give you better. In your limited eyesight and capacity, you may think that it is not possible. But for Allah, nothing is impossible. So make this dua. And do you know whom she married after that? She married none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was better than Abu Salam. And she says, she relates this hadith. And she relates this story to us and tells us, so Allah gave me better than Abu Salam. So never put anything beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is life beyond your calamity. There is life beyond your musibah. There is life beyond the death of a loved one as well. You can move on and tell yourself you will move on. Give yourself enough time to grieve. And then you must move on because Allah chose life for you and He chose death for them. So they have gone, but they themselves, if they were living today and you were to ask them, how would you want me to live my life? They would say, I want you to carry on. I want you to be happy. I want you to live your life. They themselves would be happy for you to live. So why are you now saying my life is over? So we need to understand that beyond calamity, even the most heinous of crimes, there is actually life. And we can carry on and we can live. And at times when you find it difficult, then you may reach out to those who can help you, either medically or psychiatrically. Or it may be such that you need to just sit and speak to someone about it. It is okay. These are processing mechanisms. It is important for you to do them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we see, he himself grieved. He himself cried and he moved on. One last thing before we end off today, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a father of any men. And there is a lot of wisdom behind that. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. And Muhammad was not a father for any of your men, but he was the messenger of Allah and the seal of prophethood. He was the last of prophets. There is nobody to come after him as a prophet. And this is why Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal caused for all of his sons to die during his lifetime. Because he didn't want people to come afterwards and say, this is the lineage of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nubuwa remains today. Prophethood is there today. No, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave sons behind. Hence, he did not leave a lineage behind. Yes, his daughter carried on the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Islam is according to the father. Call them by their fathers. If someone has a son, his name will carry on. But he has a daughter, his blood will carry on. Yes, but his lineage ends there. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage ended there. And this is why we see in Surah Al-Kawthar, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Indeed, it is your enemy who claims that you are barren and you have left behind no sons. You have no lineage and you are cut off. It is him who is barren and it is he who is cut off and he has no son and no lineage. You know why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite not having sons that remained alive after him, and despite not having a lineage that continued, his message is spread throughout the globe. And today we are only sitting here Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed the message on from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So his message went farther and much further beyond what a person may actually achieve from his son carrying on his lineage. May Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal grant us the ability to practice upon what has been said. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand and to improve our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.